Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz, and you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
Today we have a special guest. We have our guest Speedy Claxton. What's going on, Speedy?
Hey, Mush, man. How's everything?
Man, bless. Hey,
you're supposed to say Craig, a.k.a. Speedy.
Craig, a.k.a. Speedy Claxton.
Hey, my name too.
All right. There you go. Yeah, I heard it. He corrected it. Because a lot of people don't know. We're going to get into that, too. A lot of people don't know that your name's Craig. Everybody just thinks they just go by Speedy, and it just sticks that way. So, Craig Claxton.
Craig Speedy Claxton is an American former professional basketball player. He won an NBA championship in 2003 with the San Antonio Spurs. He is currently an assistant coach for the Hofstra University.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
Godzilla or King Kong?
King Kong.
Gonzaga or USC?
I got to go USC. My boy Jay Hart, coach there.
Baylor or Michigan?
Come on, Michigan. Easy one. Jay Howard.
Duncan or Malone?
Duncan, man. That's my former teammate.
AirPods or headphones?
AirPods.
Pitcher or shortstop?
Pitcher.
Solo text or group chat?
Solo.
White tennis shoes or black tennis shoes?
White.
Nets or Lakers?
Nets.
Stay up late or get up early?
Both.
Lease or own?
Lease.
Singing or dancing?
Wow, dancing.
Orange juice or tea?
Orange juice.
Would you rather be the best player on a losing team or the worst player on a winning team?
Best player on the losing team.
TV or a good book?
TV.
Doctor or pilot?
Ooh, pilot's pretty cool, so I'm going to go pilot.
Chris Paul or Steve Nash?
BP, former teammate.
Jason Williams or Steve Francis?
Jay Will.
Tony Gwynn or Fred McGriff?
Gwynn.
Mark McGwire or Frank Thomas?
Frank.
Jay Wright or Jim Boeheim?
Come on, Jay Wright, stop playing with me.
Mariano Rivera or Pedro Martinez?
Mariano, New York Yankees, baby.
Hoop Dreams or The Last Dance?
Hoop Dreams.
Like Mike or Space Jam?
Space.
And One Mixtapes or Last Chance U?
And One.
Phone or no phone?
Phone.
Museum or a beach?
Beach, easy.
Tattoos or piercings?
Tattoos.
Play with a good shooter or play with a good postman?
Play with the shooter, gotta get my assist.
Traveling in a group or alone?
Group.
Being dressed up all day or PJs all day?
PJs, man. Easy one.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Ribs or Lynx?
Ribs.
Hornets or Pelicans?
Hornets. I play for the Hornets, so.
Jay-Z or Biggie?
Ooh, gotta go with Jay.
Wu-Tang or Tribe Called Quest?
Wu-Tang.
And the last one, Brooklyn or Harlem?
Go with BK.
That's the one of the two. Jason always has some good ones.
You've reached Trayvon Edwards. To hit a two, press three. To hit a three, press two. For all other options, say or press boom shakalaka. Leave him a message at the buzzer. Just don't make it one of those long, detailed messages. Truth is, he never listens to him anyway, and frankly, doesn't care. Kaboom!
You gave us three topics that you grew up doing. Let's start with bowling. What was young Craig's relationship with bowling?
Yo, I mean, not too many people know, but I am an avid bowler. Grew up bowling, and I am really good. Almost had a perfect game one time. Missed it by one pin, so I had a 299. But I love it. Me and my friends will go every Sunday. It was just something that we did. And it was cool. We enjoyed it. And it was kind of like the bros kicking it.
So you mentioned during the one and the two that CP was one of your teammates. Have you played against CP in bowling?
I did. When we were in Oklahoma City together, we spent a lot of times in the bowling lanes. And I used to kill him. He probably wow. Better now. Because I haven't played in a long time.
See, we need that rematch. We need that rematch. So next time they on TV, even if they got a social distance, Speedy Claxton needs that invite. We need to see it.
Yeah, CP is supposedly one of the best in the league. And then, you know, Mookie Betts out here.
Yeah, CP's nice. I know he puts on his bone event every year. I used to go when it first when he first started it. But it's grown now. It's amazing. It's dope. I'm happy for him. He's a good teammate, better person.
Yeah, Mookie Betts from the Dodgers, he's bowled a few perfect games. I would love to see like a celebrity bowling tournament. They need to put some like that.
So like a MTV Rock and Jog.
Rock and Jog Bowl.
CP's the one who can get it done.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah. I mean, it should have a legends pool too. So like if you was nice and everybody just get to talk about him, like, oh yeah, you know, Craig, man, he used to take everybody money, man. Yeah. So in that situation. What size bowling ball do you bowl with?
I rolled my first ball, I rolled a 14 pounder. And then my spare ball, I rolled 12, so I could kind of have more control of it.
So I bowled in college, rare fact. I never bowled a perfect game. I do like the heavy ball, but like I'm comfortable with a 12.
Probably control it a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, obviously I like to put a spin on it, you know. And
yeah, you have to. If you don't spin it, you're not a real bowler.
Exactly. And that's funny.
I took bowling in college, and, you know, I'm a spinner. So I spun it, got a strike. And my professor was like, how'd you do that? I'm like, this, come on, dude. Are you seriously?
Yeah, you can't professor? Be my, you can't be my instructor, dog, if you don't know how to spin it. I think I learned in fourth grade, one of my teachers, and he was telling me about the arrows. A lot of people don't look at the arrows of the line.
That's and the first thing
like,
I learned.
He's like, look at it. If you're right-handed, you go, you know, two arrows close, and then two arrows that way. And then I was able to, you know, spin with my left, spin with my right. The thing that most people don't know too, because they think bowling with house balls, once you get a custom ball, you start getting that's when your scores start going up.
Or increases, man.
Exactly.
You can't bowl with no house balls, man, because they can't spin. But once you get the weighted balls and you custom it, that's when you start really enjoying bowling.
Yeah. Nah, you take it to a whole nother level. You start showing up with your glove, you got your special shoes.
Yeah, roller.
yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, kind of off topic, what about Wii bowling? Did y'all ever do the bowling on the Wii?
Wii bowling was actually nice a cheap Wii. Wii bowling was actually a cheap version of dating for me. Yeah, man.
Now, that was fire.
That was definitely fire, man. Sticking to the sports lane, what was your connection with baseball?
I tried it, but I stunk. So I knew right off the bat it wasn't for me. I was the worst player on the team. Like, I got no burn. I used to have to slide in the home plate at the end of the game, so I just dirty my uniform up.
That kind of sound like me in football. Like, I was fast, but my jersey was always clean. My coach never really used me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had all this, Deion was like my favorite player. So, like, I spat it up. I got my towel. I got my gloves. And it was rare that they would call my number for me because I was a basketball players, sometimes there's people that are super athletic and then there's just like, okay, he's fast. They would use me on Hail Marys sometimes and only put me that. So long. And sometimes I was a decoy, you know what I mean? Or sometimes, you know, my quarterback wasn't really that good. So like I would have to block a lot. And I was, you know, after I think like game 6 or game 7, I quit. I was like, man, they're not even throwing me the ball. Like, what are we doing? Like, you know,
this ain't fun.
Yeah, so I also tried baseball too.
You could ran track for all that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I ended up switching to track my senior year. But for baseball, one of my closest friends, Salvador Sanchez, he was a pitcher on the Compton High baseball team, and he got me to join the baseball team. Now, the bonus of the baseball team was the fitted hats. You couldn't wear fitted hats in school if it wasn't the school baseball hat, but I had a Compton High hat, so I could wear that one. And it was a language barrier. most of my teammates was Mexican. So they would be talking Spanish, and I didn't know Spanish like that. So I don't know if they were just teasing me because I couldn't hit. But my focus, I take my eye off the ball all the time. So what the coach did was move me as a designated runner.
Yeah, pinch runner.
Pinch runner. So like when I would come in, I would be kind of signaled in to go take second. So
steal bases,
And steal bases, and I almost tore my ACL not sliding right because it's the pop up slide.
Uh huh.
And my foot got caught. The cleat got caught in the base, and it like and I was like, I'm done, bro.
There are people in the league that have that same role. Like dudes that can't hit are like only called into the game to pinch run. Like it's crazy that as tough as it is to get into the majors, there's still cats in the majors who can't hit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's people that really do it, and it's a skill, man, for real. Like, I mean, fielding is cool too. Like, I mean, if you're nice at certain things, then you're gonna find a lane for sure. But it just wasn't that fun. It wasn't worth it for me. I enjoyed
it. It's one of the most difficult things. It's one of the most difficult things to hit a baseball and get proper contact to get a hit. Like, because most of the times you're gonna ground out or fly out. But to be a consistent hitter, that's probably one of the most. That's why they get paid so much. Because
I skipped so many steps too, though. That was another thing I didn't like really appreciate it as much. I looked at it like, oh, Griffey, you know, his stance is like this, or Sheffield, or whoever it was that I was watching at the time. I would, you know, like that's like a basketball player, right? And a football player comes from, he gets moved up to varsity and he joins your team. But you like, yo, his swag is all messed up. Like, he wearing like crazy shorts, his socks. He don't even have it. So like me out there, I'm sure they was laughing at me. I didn't chew dip. I didn't, you know, my sock game wasn't crazy. My wristband wasn't the right way. You know, just in anything you do that you really nice at, you gonna know you have to kind of acknowledge to learn that swag. And the same thing for track. I ran against DeSean Jackson one year. And just DeSean Jackson, they all had Oakley shades on with the choker gold chains. I'm like, yo, I ain't dressed like that. They not like, yo, I'm about to get smoked out here, dog. So, you know, definitely baseball. You know, we chose the right sport in basketball, man, because, you know, I know they make the big bucks. And you think about it like, man, I could have, you know, because Bobby Bonilla, he's still getting paid to this day.
Right. Hey, Speedy, did you play against any pros when you was younger that you grew up with?
Basketball or baseball?
No, baseball.
Oh, nah. I don't know. I played one year.
So Darrell Wright was my AAU teammate.
Oh, he's only nice at baseball.
He was really nice at baseball. So after he would play AAU with us, and he was on the show, we talked about it a little bit, he would go play baseball. And he could have went to the majors. That's how nice he was. And Steve Moore too, that played at Dominguez. He was pretty solid. He got drafted by the Mariners.
Yeah, but, bro. My dad grew up with Daryl Strawberry, and he played with Daryl Strawberry. You know what I'm saying? That was Crenshaw in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? And they used to play baseball all the time, and hoop. But you know, that was like his boy. And I remember him always talking about him when I was a kid, like growing up. And I didn't really like get hot because I was like one when the Mets won the title that year, 88, I think they won.
86.
Yeah, 86. So I wasn't even born yet. So I knew about Daryl Strawberry being a good baseball player, but I didn't get to really see him in his prime because I was born.
Strawberry is dumb nice. See, I grew up a Mets fan, so I know Strawberry.
Yeah. Oh, you a Mets fan?
Yeah.
I'm a Yankees fan, man.
Well, I grew up living right outside of Shea Stadium, so.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I still ain't been over there, too. I'm new to New York, so.
Yeah, I went to the new Mets Stadium. They played the Brewers like 2 years ago. I went to see
them. City Field is nice.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
You know, hopefully I can catch one of the games, man, for sure. Your last childhood topic was ping pong. Tell us about ping pong.
Well, all right. I'm not going to say I'm nice in ping pong, but I'm better than all my friends. So I'm the nicest one in the crew.
I'll take the modesty. We had Mina Kimes on from ESPN on the last episode, and she did not hold back. She said she's the nicest. She said she's the nicest. And when I think of ping pong, I think about, you know, the skit from Forrest Gump where he's just going crazy.
I'm not doing that. But I got a little spin on my serve, you know.
Okay. How often did y'all play? You know what I mean? As friends.
A lot. Being in the boys club, that's all we did. Hoop and play some ping pong and bowl.
You said in the boys club?
Yeah.
Like boys club. Yeah. Did you have like a YMCA or that was like?
Boys and girls club.
Yeah, that's where everybody was like hanging out when you.
You know theirs is way different than the West, dog. You know, we LA kids. So overall, we had the Inglewood Y. Most a lot of careers started at Inglewood Y, but because they had like the craziest building. It like had levels. You go learn how to swim on one floor, and you go up to the second floor, and you can go hoop. And you know, a lot of community. That was like a safe way from gangs and stuff like that. Yeah. So. I'm pretty sure out here, you know what I mean? Like, as y'all.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Do they still have boys and girls clubs now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I remember they had a big campaign, like maybe probably 10, maybe 20 years ago, where they used to post like the famous people who used to be. I remember they had like a Denzel, like their ID cards from the Boys and Girls Club. You remember that, Trey?
Yeah.
Like big billboards they would post up with like celebrities. Yeah. Like come up
that's actually a cool idea to create like a yearbook of Boys and Girls Club alumni.
That
would be dope. You know what I'm saying? The people that grace, you know, that
I'm sure a bunch of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I was more a Salvation Army kid too, so
okay.
I was definitely looking out. Who's your favorite teammate?
My favorite teammate of all time, I would say. Probably I have three. I can't just say one.
Yeah, okay. We ain't gonna get you in trouble. Go ahead.
I'll say CP, Steven Jackson, and Malik Rose. All three of those are my guys for life.
Yeah, Malik Rose, man, he's doing a good job on the other side too.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing about playing with CP and Stack?
Just their competitive nature. Like you knew that they was gonna go. We knew that we was gonna go to war for each other. We were all gonna leave it out there on the court, and that's what I respect most about them.
So you were on that team when Oklahoma City first got the Hornets. How was that? Like the transition of like you know you think that you're gonna be playing in this one city, and then now you're going to a city that didn't have any. Basketball life.
It was different, man. I think Katrina happened like early September, so you know we was just gearing up, about to head to New Orleans for like the preseason, you know, preseason training and playing pickup and all that. But then Katrina happened, so then we kind of got put on pause for a couple of weeks, and it's like we got to figure out where we're gonna be. And then finally, when they picked Oklahoma City, we packed up, left. And then we didn't know what to expect because, you know, it wasn't an NBA city at the time.
Right.
But the fans came up. They came out and showed out. And they truly backed us. We didn't know if they was going to be happy just to have an NBA team and be cheering for, you know, like the legends, the Kobe's and the Iversons and the LeBrons when they came into town. But it was the complete opposite. Like, they really embraced us and cheered for us. And they was booing them. Going to other teams, and it was dope. It was a great atmosphere, and that's why they were able to keep a team.
Yeah. I remember that. That's a rare jersey, too, that I'm still looking for to this day. Because I think y'all wore red, too, that year, too, right? Y'all didn't have a red alternate?
We still wore the Hornets colors.
It was the Hornets colors. Okay. Because I seen something that was floating around. I'm like, man, I remember this, man. It was Oklahoma City Hornets, man. How'd you get your nickname Speedy?
That came about in the eighth grade. One of my former, he wasn't my AU coach at the time. He later became my AU coach, but Artie Cox gave me a nickname. I used to play against his team a lot, and he didn't know my name. So he just So he just refers to me as the Speedy Kid. And then I went to Crazy King's basketball camp, and a lot of his players were at that camp, and they just knew me as Speedy. So it kind of just stuck throughout the whole camp, and that's just how the nickname came about.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Because, how I know of you, I caught a little bit. I was younger at that time. I caught a little of college, but like you got to the pros. It's so funny on the video game. Everybody was like, oh, man, you got Speedy Claxton. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you could knock down a three, you get to the big.
That was crazy when I started playing with myself in the video games. I was like, wow, this is crazy, man. I grew up playing video games, and now I'm actually in the video game. This is crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a mind-blowing experience.
Your rating was accurate, how they designed you.
I don't remember, honestly.
You know what's crazy about those games back then, though? They're not as advanced as they are now. So, like...
No, yeah, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, because it's...
We might not even have ratings.
it was ratings, but in the situation, how it rolled out was like... It didn't give you like a special attribute. You either miss or you make. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So you do if you didn't have a high ball handling rating, you would probably you would lose the ball off a spin. Like the big man were that was the glitch in the big man. Like if you spent, there's no such thing as skilled big mans on the video game. So they didn't gotcha. Allow them to do a spin and do something. But like, you know, if you did a crossover or anything, it was just like this. It wasn't nothing. It had no fluidity in there. Yeah. Yep. And I would just kick it out, and you had like a three under you, and you know what I mean? you could do all that stuff. But it was pretty cool, man.
Good memories right there.
Yeah, for sure. Who was the toughest player you had to guard in the NBA?
The toughest player I had to guard, I would probably say the late, great Kobe Bryant. Because when I played with the Hornets, CP and I would play a lot together at the same time. So I would have to guard the two guards. And Kobe's the two guard. So when I had a matchup with him, I was like, man, this is crazy, man. Like, this dude got like 6 inches on me. Like,
right.
And he's a great player. Like, what am I going to do with that?
So it was actually mentioned today. I think it was Vernon Maxwell on the Real Ones pod with Logan Murdoch and Rajah Bell. And they mentioned about like how Kobe and Mike were like super, they had to be quote unquote assholes to be great, right? And that sometimes you had to put, you know what I mean, like defending them, it was so much effort, or like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you had to, they had an aura about them that if they sense fear, it was gonna be a long night for you.
Exactly. Like with Kobe, I played against Mike, but not like that. But with Kobe, if he knew he can score on you every time, he's going to try to score on you every time. Like, that was just his mindset. He's not going to let up. He's not going to take it easy on you.
Yeah, man, that sounds about right, man. Because, I mean, you know, I watched some of even the clips that was even open for him to, you know, with some of his teammates. You know, if he like, oh, you know, Jeremy Lin and, you know, other players where he's just kind of like playing mind games with them to see if they were actually mentally tough and to handle those things, you know. And I know a lot of fans hated Rajah Bell, but some of those things, he loved to get beat up because it just was like, okay, how do I make adjustments? How, you know, I can't make an excuse to say, oh, he's touching me or this, that, and the third. You know what I mean? And I'm sure, you know, vice versa. On a defensive end, he was, you know, being a pest and a dog and trying to level up his game.
Yeah. Real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Like, you played a lot of years in the league, and, you know, everybody knows, like, the regular season is a grind. And, you know, you went play for different teams and all that, what have you. Do you have any particular memories of, like, any regular season game where either you went off or something crazy happened that kind of stood out to you where you like, man, I balled, you know what I'm saying, crazy that day or, you know, anything like that?
I have two games like that. The first being when I was with Golden State. We played at Memphis, and it was actually my career high game. I scored 29 points, but not knowing, I broke my hand in the first quarter. So I played the whole game with a broken hand and had a career high.
The best game. That's crazy.
And then the second one will be when I almost had a triple-double with San Antonio. I missed about one rebound, and I had it. It was late in the game. It was like a minute left. I was going for it. And then Tim came and took it.
He said, fuck your triple-double.
The whole crowd was like, oh. And Tim was like, oh, my God, I am so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's just natural instinct, you know, sometimes when the bigs is going to get them boards.
Because everybody knows. So when I got close, I was about to get it. He came and took it. And then as soon as he got it, he was like, oh, my God, Speedy, I am so sorry.
Oh, man. What's your I know you want to ring with the Spurs, but what's your favorite team to play on? Would that be it?
I'm going to say the Spurs. I'm going to say the Spurs because they were great teammates and we got along. And that's the only – no, that's not the only team. It was them and the Hornets, but that's one of the teams that we actually hung out off the court as well. So we would go play paintball together. We'll rent out the movie theaters if a new movie came out that we all wanted to see. We went bowling together. We spent a lot of time at each other's houses. So it was – I mean, it was a dynamic that I it was early in my career, but it definitely wasn't like that in Philly. So it was new to me.
Are the Spurs as boring in real life as they play basketball? Because they seem very dry.
Listen, man, they have a structure and they win. I mean, yeah. you gotta believe in it. I mean, it's boring. I mean, you know, it's different now because they don't have 2 7-footers down there. Like before when David and Tim was down there. So, right. You know, they get a little up and down now. They got some younger players, but it's a system.
Right. How did you like playing for Pop?
Loved it, man. Pop is a Hall of Famer, all-time great. He tells you like it is, even if you don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Who's the best player from your area to never make it?
The best player in my area to never make it. I'm going to say this guy by the name of Stymie. Really, really good player. He was out of Queens. He had one eye. But
oh, wow.
He could hoop, man. And he was just into the street life a little too much. And that's the only reason why he didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tough balance. I mean, that some players, you know, especially, you know, us both coming from inner cities and stuff like that, you see all these guys that are extremely talented and, you know, you look and you like, it's the fast life that's attractive or the group that you hang with. You think about the interest or the discipline or the sacrifices that you got to make. And some people aren't fully committed to that, you know what I mean? Even no matter how much the talent is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's a couple guys I know that I played with, and I'm just like, yo, he was nice. Like, he was crazy. And I'm like I said, I've got a chance to play with some NBA guys and, you know, witness some talent. And I'm just like, yo, he would have been crazy. And now I'm looking at it, you know, 20 years later and telling the stories about them and whatnot. And, you know, they're still around, but it's kind of like, yo, you remember when I was? And I'm like, yeah. And it just kind of, it's almost heartbreaking, but like, obviously, it's life. And we all make choices and things of that nature. I know a lot of people probably remember you too from the Sixer squads. How was it like playing with Iverson?
I mean, it was amazing. You know, that was somebody that I idolized growing up. So to be able to be around him on a daily basis and to learn from him, it was a dope experience. That little dude was nice, man.
Did he take you to Fridays all the time?
Oh, yeah, we went there after that.
Hey, they said
Fridays was ill, though. Like, that was the place to be. Like, you got some people wouldn't even go to the game. They'll just go to Fridays just for the after party.
That's what I heard, man. I heard Fridays was crazy. Like,
that was Club Fridays. It was wild. I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, they said Chuck was in there just, you know, he was treating it like it was the crib, basically. For sure, man. Jason, did you have any other questions?
Oh yeah. So now that you're a coach, how do you view the game differently from being a coach to when you were a player?
Well, now it's all about teaching and getting these guys to believe in what you believe in and getting the most out of them and helping them reach their full potential.
For sure. When you were coming up, like in high school, like when was the moment? Was it in high school or college? Do you remember the moment when you knew you were going to make the league?
No, it wasn't until college. Like I was a late bloomer. It wasn't until my senior year where there was like 20 to 30 scouts at every game that I played. And I was like, okay, I have a chance. And then it wasn't until really like until I went to the Phoenix camp, NBA pre-draft camp, where I was like, you know what? I'm not only going to get drafted. It looks like I'm going to be a first rounder.
For sure. Yeah. So do you have a favorite place to play or like arena or just like a home?
Well, it's MSG, man. MSG? Yeah. It's nothing like playing in the Garden. You know, you see celebrities on the first row. Like the crowd is dark and the only thing that's lit up is the court. I mean, it's nothing like it in the NBA.
The question that we ask all our guests is, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Oh, man. I would tell my 18-year-old self to eat better and train harder. I think when I got to the NBA, I kind of took my foot off the pedal, and I don't think I reached my full potential because of that.
Well, that's Craig Claxton, a.k.a. Speedy Claxton. Thank you again for joining us, man. This has been a great pod. Nostalgia feel fulfilled, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so many people still out to this day, you know what I mean, talk about you. And, you know, where can they find you on social?
Instagram, Speedy Claxton _10. And on Twitter, I'm Speed Demon.
All right. That's fitting, man. That's fitting. That's all right. Thanks again, man.
Growing up the same wins the game.
Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man, it's the worst feeling in the world when we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore if you go ahead and download the Stereo app. That's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin. And make sure you are linked and subscribed to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod. You can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about. At the time, it's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me and our yours truly, all at the Count the Dings Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Wads, all of us, you know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app, you will find us and subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. You can follow me, stereo.com/DarthAmin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.